Hebrews chapter number 9, I'd like to start reading in verse number 19. The Bible said, "For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water, scarlet wool and hyssop, sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you.' Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission." You may be seated this morning. I've been preaching in a series entitled Sermons of the Hymn Book. This morning in this church, we sing out of the old red-back hymnal for a reason. Because they're spiritual songs. We love coming together, making a noise for the Lord. I believe in the old-time singing, the old-time preaching. But certainly this morning, focused upon the main hymn book, which is the best hymn book I know. Why do you call it hymn book, Pastor? Because he wrote it, and it's all about him. I'm glad it's a little bit in it about you and a little bit about me, but the focal theme of this precious book is about him. You can go from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. It has one central theme about him. You know why Hollywood is tore up about the movie called The Passion this morning? Because they've never read the hymn book. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John portrays what they see. The last couple of weeks, my thoughts have been, I wouldn't miss heaven for the world. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Last Sunday, we preached on the old rugged cross. This Sunday, God helping, I want to preach on this thought. Nothing but the blood. We live in a terrible time of 204. We live in a time when our country is divided. You and I have never thought that we'd seen a day of when sin is running so rampant in our country. No longer is there one government going in one direction, but now they stand divided. There's homes that are falling apart. It's amazing the statistics of marriage. Some 3 out of 5 never even make it for 3 years. But I'm going to tell you this morning, some things have never changed, and that is still the blood. We live in a modern churchdom that requires good works and good attitude, promote nice lifestyles, but they take out the blood. They say, "Preacher, you cannot hold a congregation in the day and hour we live if you talk about the blood." I'm going to tell you this morning, it's not the congregation that I'm worried about. It's the soul of mankind that's dying and going to hell in their sin. And me standing before a holy God giving an account of what I've preached in this walk of life. Where Jesus said, "For whom much is given, much is required." And I'm glad it's still the blood. Now, I want to notice 5 things this morning about the blood. We'll try to be brief. But I want to share with you the thought on nothing but the blood. You'll find the choosing of the blood. In Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 8, why is the blood so essential to be saved? Behind me you'll find a water baptismal pool. You can be baptized in every river in the state of Georgia. You can be baptized in every pond in Carroll County that every catfish knows you by name and steal and die and go to hell in your sin. You can join every church, and there's a lot of good churches in this county. Your name can be applied to every role within this district. Still die and go to hell in your sin. But I challenge you according to the authority in the pages of this Bible. If you're washed in the blood, heaven will be your home. And that's the only thing that you can know that you know that you know. That you'll go to heaven if you're washed in the blood. Now, why is the blood so essential? We see the choosing of the blood. Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 8. Something in the Bible says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Nothing but the blood. You'll find here the choosing of the blood. Notice the person of choice. You'll see Lamb, capital if you have the right Bible this morning. Lamb, capital. Why? Because it's only one. God as a holy Lamb. We find that before this world ever began, that God got together in His predetermined counsel. And there you'll find the person of the choosing. God realized we had to have a lamb in order to be saved. Not only the person of the choosing, but notice the place of the choosing. There within this sentence it says of the lamb slain. The place of the choosing, He's talking about Calvary. I'll remind you that the old rugged cross was not an afterthought of God after He's seen mankind would fall. For before God ever created you and I, He knew that man would fall. He realized that we needed a Savior. Therefore, He chose the place of Calvary. The Bible said as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The person of choice. The place of choice. But notice the price of choice. It costs Jesus something to get me and you to heaven. You say, "Preacher, why do you get so tore up about Jesus?" Well, folks get tore up about the ball games. They get tore up about a lot of things. But I tell you what I get tore up about. It's when somebody calls the name above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ. For He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. You'll see the price of the choosing. It cost God His Son. It cost Jesus His life in order that you and I may go free. The price of choosing. But then notice the predetermining of the choosing. The Bible said how long? Oh, from the foundation of the world. Now let's look at this a minute. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Acts 2 and 22. Let's look at this predetermined choosing. Acts 2, verse 22. Peter said, "You men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you've taken Him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain." I tell you what Peter was saying. He's saying, "You Jews didn't kill Jesus." He's saying the predetermined counsel has foreordained that He would go to an old rugged cross and carry out the plan of God that sinners could be saved. This morning you'll find the choosing of the blood. Now God could not put in the decrees of this Bible that water baptism could get us there. He could not put in this Bible that church membership could get us there. He could not put in the pages of this Bible that good works could get us there. Because if good works could get you there, bad works could get you out of there. But He chose the blood. The blood
And I'm glad the blood is still there. The choosing of the blood. God chose the best thing He had to get me and you to heaven. His Son, the Lord Jesus. The choosing of the blood. Secondly, the comparison of the blood. Let's look in Hebrews chapter number 9, back toward the text. Not only the choosing of the blood, but let's look a few minutes at the comparison of the blood. There is different types of blood. But the Lord Jesus had the only holy blood. For He was God manifested in the flesh. He was born of a virgin. You and I received the bloodline from our Father. Our Father had the pre-Adamic nature. We were all descendants of Adam. When Adam sinned in the garden, then He cast mankind into depravity. And now mankind is being worse and worse and worse. Mankind's on a downward spiral. You say, preacher, well, there's still some good people in this world. I agree with that. But the best person in this world is not good enough to go to heaven. It takes the blood of Jesus to get you to heaven. The comparison of the blood. He had holy blood. Hebrews 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come a high priest, the good things to come, by a greater and a more perfect tabernacle, or a more perfect writing or testament. Not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. We see the comparison of the blood. In verse 11 you'll find it was personal blood. Christ's blood. He had never had sin. It was spotless blood. Personal blood. Now, verse 12, you'll find that it's paying blood. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once unto the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For at the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling, the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the tester. Now notice He says He's the mediator of the New Testament. We see the comparison of this blood. It's personal blood. It's paying blood, but it's permanent blood. He said in verse 12, He entered once into the holy place. That's why you and I don't need a priest in the day and hour we live. Because Jesus went one time, the last time, into the holy place to offer His blood for all mankind, that they all could be saved. I don't have to have a priest or a pope now to get me to God. It's still the blood. Nothing but the blood. Certainly we see here the comparison of the blood. Notice this, He said in verse 11, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come. The Old Testament. How was the Old Testament saints of God saved? Just the way me and you are, by the blood. They were looking to the cross. All them Old Testament prophets, they were preaching about one to come. One's going to die. One's going to give His blood. But now we in the New Testament, we don't look to the cross. We look back to the cross of what He's already done for me and you. The New Testament, He went in. Remember when He was crucified? The veil of the temple was rent. And I'll remind you, the great high priest every year would go in the Holy of Holies. He would sprinkle the blood of the altar and the book and the people with the blood one time for the sins. But when Christ died, the veil of that temple that kept man out of the Holy of Holies was rent from the top to bottom and it was open. Why? Because Christ went in the holy place
sprinkled His blood upon the altar, and now we can believe in Christ and go in the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus and get to God the Father in heaven. And it's still the blood. Hallelujah. Nothing but the blood. And certainly the comparison of this blood, He made a payment. Personal blood, paying blood, permanent blood. I want you to look what He said, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. He entered in once. That's all it took. Into the holy place, having obtained what? What? Eternal redemption for us. Thank God, not for them, but us. The black, the white, the red, the yellow, the poor, the rich, the blind, the halt, the maimed. He entered in the holy place. He obtained eternal redemption for us. Lord, that'll make you knock the back of your choir robe out. Eternal redemption. Eternally. You mean I can be eternally saved? You sure can. By the blood of Jesus. Well, preacher, what if I fall or have a bad thought? Honey, we'd all be in hell. But by His blood, by His grace, He set us free this morning. Jesus said, ye that are without sin, cast the first stone. The blood of Jesus to set you free this morning. My friend, if you die and go to hell in your sins, you'll go denying the blood that bought you. You'll go denying the blood that went in the Holy of Holies and made a way for you. You'll die and go to hell in your sins if you reject the blood of the darling Lamb of God. You'll find the choosing of the blood, the comparison of the blood. But now let's look at the crying of the blood. The Bible said in Genesis chapter number 4, notice the cry of the blood. I'm sure many of you have heard of this old Bible story. In Genesis chapter 4, verse number 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Process of time came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, there's still two ways to approach God this morning. There is one way, the way of the cross, or there is one way of Cain. A lot of people is trying to approach God by the way of Cain, of their religion and their good works. But you better be approaching Him by the way of the cross. For here, no doubt, Adam and Eve had taught their children, Cain and Abel, the way to sacrifice and to worship God. Therefore, you'll find that Abel brought the firstlings of his flock and God had respect, but Cain was this new modern church crowd. I'm going to go on my own efforts and how good I am and how polished I am and what I'm worth and what church I belong to. That's hogwash. Hogwash! It's still the blood. You'll find God had respect to this blood offering. Now watch your Bible, verse 8. Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. The Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? He said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Now notice in verse 10, you'll see the crying of the blood. God doesn't need DNA. He knew whose blood it was that was crying from the ground. As Cain in his wrath and wrath killed his brother Abel, you'll see that the Bible tells that when he took and he killed his brother, it means that when he rose up and slew him, it means that he took some type of instrument and totally beat him to death. Here, the cry of the blood is coming. It was a loud cry. It was a long cry. He said, I'm going to tell you what, Cain. As long as you walk through this world, you're going to have the blood of his conscience on your soul. Don't care how many cities you go to build. Don't care how many places that you go to make. It's always going to cry from the ground about your brother's blood. Oh, it's a loud cry, a long cry. Now, it's something that Jesus said, crying of this blood. And I don't want you to miss this. But in Hebrews 12 and 24, I want you to note this in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, about the crying of this blood. Look what the Lord said. He said in Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 24, He said, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, why would he say that, the crying of the blood? You see, Abel said, I've died by the sin of my brother. But Christ, when he shed his blood, he said, I've died for the sins of my brother. Can I say that again so you get that? When Abel died, his blood cried and said, I've died by the sin of my brother. But when Christ died, he said, I've died for the sins of my brother. You see, the Bible said the blood of Jesus speaketh better things than Abel. Why? Because it was holy blood. It was heavenly blood. Isn't it amazing? Something the Jehovah Witness just can't understand. According to John's Gospel, chapter number 1. Let's turn there. Some of you look like you're doubting me. John chapter number 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word. Who's that? Christ. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now there you'll find two different characters, but the same God. Isn't that amazing? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. All three have different identities, but all three are one. Preacher, how can you explain that? Let me tell you this. Take a lake. Let it freeze over. Let snow fall on that ice. And when the sun comes out, even though it's three separate identities, water, ice, and snow, when they melt, they all become one. See, it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, but they all three are one. So what are you saying, preacher? What's your point? I'm saying it was God got on that cross. And He died for me and you. That's why Christ's blood is better than that of Abel. Abel's blood said, crying, I've died by the sin of my brother. Christ's blood says, I've died for the sins of my brother. Let me ask you something. You going to heaven. I realize you and I are a lot alike in many ways, but yet different in many ways. But it's two things you and I, everybody in this room is going to do alike. Number one, we all are going to die. Everybody in this room, we're headed to the graveyard. I don't care how you try to make this face up. I don't care what you try to hide. On your best day, you're headed to the graveyard. Number two, you're going to meet Christ. And when we meet Christ, we're going to stand before Him right by ourselves. He's our judge. And there's one thing that better be applied, and that's the blood. This morning you'll find the choosing of the blood, the comparison of the blood, the cry of the blood. But let's look in Exodus chapter 12, the covering of the blood. Exodus 12. Let's look at the covering of the blood. He said in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12. He said, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, and I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Can you imagine the cries in Egypt that night? When all the firstborn died of man and beast, can you imagine the sobbing and tears that was going on in that city? And he said, "And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment, because I am the Lord." Verse 13, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Now he told his youngins, the children of Israel, he said, "Tell you what you do. You go out, I'm going to provide a lamb for everybody in the house." He said, "I want you to take that lamb and I want you to strike the doorpost of your home with the blood. I want you to mark it on the door frame. When you go in, I want you to take the blood and I want you to put it on your door frame. And when you go in that house in the night, when I pass over you and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you." He didn't say, "When I see the water baptism." He didn't say, "When I see what kind of church you belong to." He said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." Now, preacher, how do I get the blood on the doorpost? Because He died for you at Calvary. Now, we're saved by grace through faith. We must believe in that blood, and He applies it to our heart. The doorpost of our heart, the blood has to be applied. Sister Orion said this morning, I would say she's probably been saved 40, 50 years. Blood's not wore off. It don't wear out. It don't wash off. Let me tell you something. You think you was low and defiled? I wouldn't. Worth killing. And I doubt if there's anybody in this assembly this morning who would want to raise their hand up and say, "I have been so good, God had let me go to heaven." It ain't a one in here. Everybody's sin is black. But when God saved me and washed me in His blood, He changed my whole being. I don't have religion. I'm not even churchy. I got saved. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. Covering. The blood's got it covered. Now, I want to show you something in your Bible. All right, preacher, you say now that once you've got saved and you're living for Christ and you sin. All right, turn over 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John number 1, verse number 5, right before the book of Jude. "This then is the message which we've heard of Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, if He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from what?" What? Oh, sin. Now, is that future sin? Is that past sin? Is that present sin? I think that all's got it all covered. Now, if I say all of us in the building, that ain't leaving out nobody, is it? All. Now, he says, in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Look at that word, cleanseth. Now, I'm not an English major. I'm a preacher. But this word is doing something. I wish I'd studied harder in school. So let me tell you, in this old country boy language, it's a getting it done. Cleanseth. Don't say cleanse. Cleanseth. Cleanseth. When you sin, preacher, what's happening? The bud's cleansing. When I sin, He's cleansing. Cleanse us. Cleanse us. Cleanse us. Cleanse us. So what's the Bible say? And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Preacher, what about the adultery I committed? He'll clean you from it. What about my shacking up, preacher? He'll clean you from it. What about the dope I've been smoking? He'll clean you from it. What about taking the name of the Lord in vain? He'll cleanse you from it. What about a homosexual lifestyle? He'll cleanse you from it. Cleanse you from all sin. Oh, I love what He says right here. I just love this over the book of Isaiah chapter number 1. Look what your Bible says. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. I love when the Lord goes to giving me stuff. He said in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Preacher, why you get so tore up? Because the blood's been applied. I can't do what I used to do. Not in labor. I may dabble in it and try it every now and then, but oh, I'm in there. And this blood cleanseth. Cleanseth. Now, you go out and get your hands dirty. You got to go to soap. What's it doing? It's cleaning. Boy, if you had something on you that was a cleanseth in you. Is that right, binocular? Cleanseth in? I like it. I like what it means. It means it's going to get me to glory land where I want to tell you something. I want to be one of the best preachers God's ever called, but I'm human. You pop me on the jaws, you know what I'm doing? I'm going to wire back at you. You make goo-goo eyes, look the wrong way. I'm just a man. You cut me, I bleed red. But that blood's getting me to heaven. It ain't because I'm a preacher. It ain't because I'm a pastor. It ain't because I'm trying to live for Jesus. It's the blood. Thousands of Baptists by the droves are dying to go to hell in their sins. By the droves. But there'll never be nobody that was ever washed in the blood that are dying to go to hell in their sins because that blood cleanseth us from all. Oh, see. That makes you want to run. Oh, whatever I've done, whenever I've done, whatsoever I've done, I cleanse it. It may not be big to you, but it's big to me. Because I get in trouble a lot. I know you think you are a cut above, but you ain't. You ain't. You ain't near as good as you think you are. You guess what this Bible says? You're as filthy rags in the nostrils of God. If it wasn't for His darling Son that hung on an old rugged cross and shed His blood, we'd all be in hell this morning. Give me a song. Oh, thank you for the blood. You may just want to... You know, a lot of times we sure do take stuff for granted. What's the conclusion of the blood? I tell you what the conclusion of the blood is this. Look at me. Watch me. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you are. And I don't care where you've come from. But I'm concerned of where you're going. Because there's a heaven to gain. And there's a hell to shun. And I know that if God could save somebody like me, Paul said he saved him, the chief of sinners. And that lets me know he can save all the Indians this morning. I don't care what you've done. He said, come now. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Brother Mike said in 1974, God rescued him out of the pool rooms, the hell holes of this world. I was thinking, Brother Mike, I was about 13 years old, on my way to hell, running with the wrong crowd, found myself in the wrong places too many times. You've heard it before, but can I tell you again? An old preacher come down my house one Saturday and brought God with him. I was dying, going to hell. 20 years old. Looking for happiness in this world. Jesus come by. Started to deal with my heart. Now I want to tell you now how to be covered. When he gave an invitation, this is where I was sitting, Miss Renee on my side. I don't even know what he preached. All I know, God was a dealing with me. I was headed to hell and I needed the blood. And I stepped out. And when I stepped out, God covered me. How did he cover you, preacher? By faith. Exactly. By grace. He reached down and said, if you got enough faith to reach up, I got enough love to reach down. Now will you just reach up and take my hand? Salvation is so simple, but yet so profound. Did you know before God ever spoke this whole thing into existence, He's seen you sitting on this pew this morning. He's seen you. He knew this message to be preached just for you, just to you. Now God has reached down to where you are. Would you reach up by faith this morning? Last week we had several people saved. And I'm going to tell you what, everyone that God saved, it took the blood. I wonder this morning. You may even be, never even been here before. You may have been here since this thing first started, some 10 years ago. This is for somebody this morning. And I'm going to tell you something, He loves you. I'm not going to tell you if you'll come follow Christ, He'll give you nice things. That's not what I'm preaching. But I tell you what He'll be to you, He'll be a friend that'll go to you to the end. He'll see you across the river. But it's by His blood.